Hi, folks. This is CBD of the Cut Jib Newsletter Worldwide Podcasting Network. I am coming to you from sunny, but soon to be. Oh, wait, no, it's sunny again, London. And I am here with, not here in London, but on the podcast with my friend and co-podcaster, JJ Sefton. JJ, how are you doing this morning?
All things considered, I'm doing okay here in cloudy but warmer southern Wisconsin. So that certainly is a plus. Spring seems to be at long last on the way. So we're doing all right. Not too bad, my friend. And oh, to be in England. Now that's something is here. Now that the Muslims are here.
Well, it's actually interesting. I come to London quite a bit, and I've been a passive observer of the changes that are occurring in London and probably to a lesser extent across the United Kingdom. And it's depressing because this is a great city, and it is falling apart. Great cities do not stay great simply because they are or have been great. And London is chasing San Francisco and Chicago and perhaps even Paris for the title
And
of the least impressive once great city. How's that? I don't know.
it is a microcosm of our world at large, and I think it's a good segue perhaps into our first topic, which was the very sad and disappointing outcome of the national elections in Hungary, which saw the
Well,
great Viktor Orban defeated and ousted by basically
yes. And
someone who's his direct opposite, who is a globalist and, and an open borders lunatic, sadly.
well, he sort of rebranded himself
Kept,
as
yeah.
center right, which,
Yeah. But
let's not pretend he's not
what
center
kept
right.
Hungary, I'm sorry, what kept Hungary relatively safe and secure as opposed to the most of the rest of Europe was his staunch stance against open borders and Islam. And now he's gone.
Yeah, his adversary tried to shift to pretend that he's a center right sort of pragmatist, but that's not the case. And Hungary will re-embrace the EU. They will probably begin to help out in Ukraine and all the all the wonderful things that the globalists in Western and Central Europe want, but. A friend of ours, actually, I don't know if you recall a gentleman who we had on last year talking about Department of Justice and the legal machinations of our federal government, sent me a very interesting article about Orban, and it was quite critical of him, and it pointed out that he really didn't run a very good campaign, that his party sort of lost its way. So it's very possible that the repudiation of this conservative populism in Hungary is simply a response to Orban's flaws rather than a disillusionment with the overall political philosophy. And I choose to see it that way. Whether that's the case, it remains to be seen. But it is certainly possible.
Well, the Hungarian people, unfortunately, will be spiting their nose, in spite, they'll be spiting them, whatever, what's spiting their face to
Cutting
spite,
off their
whatever,
nose to
forget the
spite their face,
cutting off
yeah.
their nose to spite their face. Sorry about the brain fart there. But I mean, okay, yeah, you're going to punish him for not being whatever. But then, okay, now you'll have open borders. Now your young men will be sent off to Ukraine to be cannon fodder. And you'll be slaves once again to Brussels and the EU. If that's what that's the way you want it, that's the way you want it. But then again, who are we to bitch? Because we bitch about, we hate the Democrats, we hate what they stand for. But we unfortunately will reflexively will vote GOP, and then we get fed up and we say to hell with it. We're not going to vote at all. And we let the Democrats win anyway. So it's kind of a similar situation in a way.
Yeah, well, that's sort of depressing. Thank you very much for that.
You're very welcome. I'm here to depress and impress. But on a positive note, a few thousand miles to the west in Ireland, The Irish people have really gotten their Irish up, so to speak, and they are protesting and taken to the streets and are literally on the verge of a revolution because they are pissed off at their government for a whole host of reasons.
Well, I'm going to maybe put a damper on some of your enthusiasm. Michael Walsh, whom we have had on our podcast several times, and who is quite the wise and erudite observer of the Irish condition, has pointed out that they're not very good at revolution. They fail miserably a lot of the time, and I think that they like to fight, but I'm not sure that the end result is going to be positive for the Irish people. And it's depressing in a way because I don't know. Michael Walsh says that all the best Irishmen moved to the United States. So it's also
Well,
entirely
at
possible
least
that this is
that,
the, you
right, I
know. Go
would
ahead.
say at least, I mean, it's cold comfort. At least they're trying. But I mean, what does it mean at the end of the day? What does it mean if they don't accomplish anything?
Yeah, that's the case. Now, they might very well fight, and they're very good at that. That seems to be the national sport of the Irish is is fighting. But the example used of the provisional IRA, the IRA, the provosts, yeah, they fought. They fought the British for a very, very long time. They've been fighting the British since the 16th century. But they haven't done a very good job of it. That doesn't mean that they don't fight. It means that they're not very good at ending those fights. But the reality is that the Irish people are finally sick and tired of the way they're being treated by their globalist government. And anytime that happens anywhere in the world, it's a good thing. So I don't want to, I don't want to rain on your parade. So I'm just going to say, yeah, it's a good thing. They're finally fighting. How's that?
Right, which is fine. I mean, then again, look at what we have here. We have Antifa, BLM, and every scum, anti-American left-wing terrorist organization firebombing, machine gunning, ramming people with cars, doing anything to get their way. And yet here we are. And believe me, I'm not advocating violence, but I mean, we're not doing anything in to do anything to stop that, really. Both politically, I mean, or heaven forbid, should it take to the streets, the barricades, my friends, whatever, who knows? But of course, they
I
have
think
the
we
political cover of the Democrat Party and of the courts.
I think we are doing something. I think that the Justice Department is pushing back a little bit on the free ride that Antifa and Black Lives Matter have been getting for the last 5 years or 5 or 6 years. They're certainly pushing back on irregularities in voting rolls and so on and so forth. It's not publicized and it's certainly downplayed by the legacy media. But I think there are successes and it's difficult to see them, especially in light of the fact that our Senate, our glorious Senate, is refusing to pass rational voting acts. SAFE Act
The
is,
Save Act, yes.
yeah, SAVE Act rather, is, it, you know, it, there's nothing outrageous about it at all. And it's interesting, if you read the act, there are robust protections for people who can't figure out how to prove that they are, in fact, American citizens. There are multiple pathways that they mandate that the states do. To protect the voting rights of actual Americans. But that's being subsumed in the larger message from the legacy media that this is Jim Crow all over again
Yeah.
no woman will ever vote again in America, blah blah blah. They're all a bunch of bullshit artists. But they're good at it,
Of course.
so yeah.
Yep. But
Anyway,
then
so
it's
yeah. So the let's actually let's go back to Europe for just a bit and talk about Pope Leo, who
Ugh. Leo the Lip.
yeah, you know, he's cloaking himself in his papal vestments and saying, "Oh, how dare you?" Well, he and his cohorts, the bishops or the College of Cardinals, or the American representatives, "How dare Trump criticize the Pope?" Well, fuck that. I'm sorry. The Pope jumped into a political discussion and he got his ass kicked. And if he wants to stay out of politics, great. But he didn't. He chose to stick his nose into politics, and the response was nasty and immediate. And I don't feel badly at all. I think what Trump did was fine. I think criticizing the Pope is perfectly okay. If he wants to criticize American foreign policy and the behavior of the American president from a political viewpoint, that's fine. He's a citizen of the world. Everybody loves to criticize America, but you can't hide. You can't hide behind the Vatican walls, those very, very tall walls that only good people are allowed through those walls, right? No, no immigrants live in Vatican City.
Right, the
Only rich
Somalians haven't
priests.
figured out a way to scam the scam the gold and the jewelry, whatever.
And
Amazing.
speaking of scams, the Catholic Church has made billions of dollars from NGOs in the United States, funneling these illegal immigrants into the country and trying to settle them in various places. That in and of itself is a scam and should be investigated. But regardless of that, the Pope has no standing as someone who's above the fray. He jumped right into the fray. So, listen, that's what happens.
What was this, my leftist friends, about the separation of church and state? Hello? Tell the Pope to separate himself.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. It's a very
There
good
you
point.
go.
Yeah. Anyway, so the big news of the day is the Straits of Hormuz. The Iranians left the negotiations. They decided that the obvious end result of an absolute ass kicking on the from the U.S. armed forces and the Israeli armed forces, they're just going to pretend that it didn't happen. They're going to pretend that they are negotiating from a position of strength. And it's obvious that they aren't. There's no way around the fact that Iran has been, no, not decimated. It's much worse than decimation. The vast majority of their military industrial might has been destroyed. What they are left with is, small, widely just distributed units. If they're lucky, they'll be able to hit a ship or two in the Straits of Hormuz. But right now, President Trump called their bluff and said, "Okay, we'll close the straits." Now, who's that hurting? What is it? About 20% of the world's oil goes through the straits, but all of Iran's oil goes through the straits. So this means that Iran will not be able to sell a single drop of petroleum until the United States Navy says it's okay. Now, the temporary dislocation in the oil markets is exactly that, temporary. And the rest of the oil producing states in the area are madly working to, on workarounds. There's a pipeline that crosses, if you look at a map, you can see how there's sort of a triangle, and there's a pipeline that crosses the base of that triangle, to avoid the straits. That's working at 100% capacity right now. I think it's a couple of million barrels of oil a day, which is quite a bit. But the obvious intent of the blockade of the Straits of Hormuz is to hurt Iran even more. And it's going to work. Whether President Trump is going to stick to his guns, I have no idea. But I think it's a wonderful way to call Iran's bluff. I'm sure they did not expect this.
No way. Iran thought, yeah, they thought that Trump was going to cave and he would, the pressure to keep the straits open and the oil flowing. But no, he said, forget it. And good on him. And he said, okay, blockade, okay. we'll do the blockade. It was actually quite a brilliant move. And now the pressure is on. It's not on him necessarily and us, it's on the world to like force, and we're saying we're not budging. So it's on, it's the world now has to sort of pressure the Iranians to like just, bite the bullet and do whatever, to whatever extent they're going to be, stick to any kind of ceasefire or truce or peace plan or whatever. That's another story. But at least it's on, the onus is on them to do it.
It'd be interesting. I haven't noticed what the oil markets are doing. I know they're up a little bit, but I haven't checked in the last half hour or so. And I know that the stock market is down slightly. I think that the world markets are planning on a quick resolution to this. Whether that's good in the long run, I'm not sure.
Well, it
Should
certainly puts
should.
the it de definitely puts the Chinese in a very, very precarious position, and so
Yeah.
that's, sort of good and bad for obvious reasons, because they can be just as unpredictable as anybody, and maybe they feel that, all right, we have so much oil left, and it's almost like a repeat of the Japanese at before Pearl Harbor. We only have 6 months of oil left. Maybe we should move against Taiwan now while the Americans are tied up in the Persian Gulf. Although we can now fight two, we can fight effectively a two-ocean war, but oh my God.
Well, that's a cheery thought. Thank you very much.
You're very
I don't
welcome.
think they're going
I'm
to do
always
it.
here to help, but you never know. Look, it's but on a positive note, I mean, if you want to, and I know you've chided me about not having any good news, the Artemis crew splashed down in the Pacific, I believe the Atlantic or the Pacific or wherever, and returned from a successful mission, a record-breaking mission to the moon and back, and that is a good thing, and it's good for American morale, and it sort of, in a way, at least unifies, at least temporarily, disparate viewpoints and brings us together. So that's nice, and that's good.
It is, and I don't know what technological advance that this demonstrated. I mean, we did it a long, long, long time ago. 1968, I think, was the first time we orbited the moon. But it's still it's still a technological achievement, and it certainly was uneventful. And that's good. Let's face it. Space travel should be uneventful. That's the goal. So, but I think it's wonderful. I think that one of the reasons why NASA was pushing this is because there is competition. There is one robust and one not so robust private company that can launch. Obviously, SpaceX, Elon Musk's company, is fantastic. And they're, I think their goal is launching one a day or one a week or something like that, with the ultimate goal of going to Mars. Whether that's going to happen in our lifetime, who knows? But I think the
I
goal
don't
is
think
laudable.
a human manned mission to Mars is, for many reasons, is really feasible or practical. I think robotic missions are really the way to go. But to the moon is certainly obviously within reach, and his goal is also, he had stated the mission of setting up some sort of a base on the moon, I guess, to be a
That should
staging
be
post to
doable,
go to
but
Mars.
why don't you think that a manned effort to Mars is
It's the biological problems, the nature of the dangers of long-term space flight and coming back are just, there is an excellent video by the late physicist Richard Feynman, which goes into the real impracticalities of sending human beings to Mars and returning them. And it's really is kind of a sobering video, and I urge people to search it out, and it's kind of, it's sad, but who knows? Maybe technology, to play devil's advocate, maybe technology will change in the next 20, 30, 40 years that will allow us to get close enough to go much, much faster than we have before, and to go there in return with different technologies. Who knows? If we can get close to a fraction, perhaps, of, I wouldn't say the speed of light, but certainly a lot faster than our chemical rockets can carry us. Because there's the paradox, the faster you need, and the farther you need to go, the more fuel you need to carry, and the more fuel and payload you need, the more it takes to get you out of Earth's gravitational, the launch from the Earth. And then once you're in space, you burn that up. And then how do you get back? And it's plus the cosmic rays, the gamma rays, the effects of zero gravity long term on the human body. It's really
Well, they've
very
been,
daunting
yeah, they've
challenges.
been, I mean, they've been working on those issues. The International Space Station has been functioning for many, many years. They're not completely ignorant of the issues.
No, but
But
still,
yeah,
it's a
you bring
very.
up a good point. I didn't realize that Feynman had spoken about this. And I love him. He's great. So
He's
I will
terrific. So,
look
I
for
mean,
that video and
there's a couple of wonderful videos of it's him. It's either him or it, believe it or not, it's an AI of his lectures that's done with his voice and an animation. But it's quite. And but he lays it out also. His colleague, a gentleman by the name of another theoretical physicist, Leonard Susskind, also talks about why it's the impracticalities, if not impossibility, in a way of getting to Mars. But
Okay.
I'll leave it for you all to search that
So what else is going on in the world?
Well, we've Hungary, Ireland, Iran, we Pope Leo. And Eric Swalwell is a freaking disgusting sex pest and horrible
Eric
piece of
Swalwell,
human waste.
yes. Yeah, he's a real charmer. I wonder what's going to happen. So he suspended his campaign for the governorship of California, which it might have been politically driven because there's so many Democrats in the mix. It was theoretically possible that the top two finishers in their ridiculous
Yeah,
election
they have a very,
system.
yeah. It's are you saying
Yes.
they have a
Yeah,
their
but it's
system is
entirely
such that
possible
even
that
a
two Republicans would have been at the top, which would have meant a
exactly.
Republican governor of California. Now, that's theoretical, but the
Yes.
Democrats would—they want no part of a Republican in California because, oh my God,
Of course.
the race into the sewer might be slowed down if there was a Republican in the governor's office in California. We wouldn't want that.
Exactly. No, heaven forbid.
Yeah.
But
But he's a sleaze bag on so many levels. He was banging a Chinese spy. Apparently, he's been quite a sexual predator for quite some time. And he's also a thoroughly unappealing man. He looks like a bum. He talks like an asshole. And the idea that he was ready to ascend to the national stage is just amazing to me. But listen, that's what Democrats do.
yep, he's horrible. He truly is a reprehensible human being. And well, look, Californians want him. Californians want him. They get him. They get Maxine Waters. They get what is it? Scott Wiener in Los Angeles. They get what's his
And
name? The
Schiff.
bug-eyed freak,
Yeah,
Schiff
and
for
Schiff.
brains. Yeah,
Yeah.
and Kamala, and so on and so on and so on. But there you go. That's what they want.
Yeah, Chlamydia
California.
Harris. She was making noises about running again.
I hope
I
so,
think
because
that's fa
she'll
I
go
think
down
that's
in flames.
fantastic.
Absolutely,
The
she
fucking
will go down
retard.
in flames.
Yeah, it'd be great. By the way, speaking of Swallowwell, yes, yeah, Swalwell, whatever his name is, he so he. He's ending his campaign for governor of California because of these apparently credible charges. What about Congress? Is he going to resign from Congress? Is Congress going to throw him out?
Probably not.
That's a
Well,
question, by the way.
I had in the morning report, and I found it really, it was laughable. He's suspending his campaign because of these unfounded and spurious allegations against me. Well, if they're unfounded and spurious, then why the hell are you suspending your campaign? Don't you think you should keep running and fighting it? But, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous.
I think his party, I mean, the allegations are definitely provable. He's going to get hung. The FBI, I believe, or the DOJ has opened up an investigation into him and, into these charges. And I just don't think it's politically viable or advisable for the Democrats to have him in there, not only for the because of the free for all electoral process there that could lead theoretically to a Republican or two at the top of the heap, but also because he's political poison. And there are other candidates that they don't want to have people make hay of that.
But what about Congress? Do you think they're going to throw him out?
I doubt it. Well, who knows? I would tend to doubt it. It depends. I mean, if it as long as the Republicans stay in the majority, sure, they could throw him out. I suppose they could impeach him.
Yeah, I don't see it though. I
I
think
don't
they're
see
going
it
to,
either. There's no,
yeah, they're going to
you know,
close
there's
ranks
no.
because half of them have done the same thing.
Of course, they're all pigs and perverts and criminals.
They
So I
really
mean,
are.
they circle the wagons. That's it.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yep.
All right, what else you got here?
Too easy. I think that is it, my friend. At least from my end, I think we've kind of covered the waterfront here for this week, and we'll see what the coming week brings. Whether Iran,
I
the
could.
situation in Iran will resolve itself one way or another somehow. I certainly hope it does. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I'm now less and less sanguine that the Iranian and Persian people will, let alone rise up like the Irish, or let alone have any kind of a government that I got a feeling it's going to be the mullahs all the way down, continuing. Sad to say.
Yeah,
Unless
I don't
Donald
know.
Trump goes
I really
against
don't.
Karg
It,
Island, that's a whole other one.
you know, the surveillance state, the terror state that the mullahs have built since 1979 is comprehensive, and
Yep.
it is extraordinarily difficult to fight against that. I
It
think
is
I was
probably at least as
probably,
effective as the old German, the Eastern German Stasi. Absolutely.
yeah. But the Stasi up and quit one day.
That is true.
Now, I would argue that the East German secret police were a more rational group than the IRGC and the Basij, the fucking lunatics that they have, murdering women for showing their hair on the streets of
Right.
Tehran.
Yeah, Islam is a hell of a thing to overcome. I mean, communism, whatever. All right, what the hell? Let's throw our hands up and jump over the wall, Max. And get some bratwurst and St. Pauli girl and Americans. And but no, in Iran, forget it. They're there to conquer the world.
I was exuberant about the possibilities of an Iranian uprising. But again, we don't know what is going on. So maybe we should reserve judgment until we know more.
Well, I hope we are proven wrong.
Yeah, I
Yes,
hope I'm wrong.
it would be nice to wake up one day and, Evin prison is festooned with the hanging, rotting corpses of IRGC guards and torturers.
I see, the occasional video of drive-by shootings of these guys, which is nice.
Cool.
And
Which is
there's
interesting. Where
certainly,
are the people? Where are the people getting the guns from?
listen, look at their borders. You know,
True.
that's in a nasty neighborhood. There are guns everywhere. So
Very
it
true.
doesn't surprise me that people are armed, just not enough of them. That's the problem. Anyway, we speak from almost total ignorance of what's actually going on the street in Tehran and in the big cities of Iran. And I can only hope that that the United States is doing something to help the true revolution in Iran. And
I know there was talk of arming the Kurds, but that's a whole other.
yeah, that's a big mess. The Kurds are out for themselves. It's not. That's not something that's going to happen overnight also.
Yeah.
They want an independent state, and
Kurdistan,
if that means hanging out the rest of the Iranians to dry, well, that's okay with them, which is understandable. But anyway, all right,
yeah. What else you got, my friend?
I'm all tapped out. I'm jet lagged beyond belief, so I'm
All right,
probably
and I am
babbling
as well.
like
I'm not
even
jet
more of
lagged,
an
but I'm
idiot.
tapped. I think we've hit pretty much all the news that fits we print for this week.
I agree. Anyway, folks, thank you very much for listening. and hitting our tip jar and commenting at both Ace of Spades, where both Sefton and I write, and at Cut Jib Newsletter. And I hope everyone has a wonderful week, and we will chat with you soon. Sefton, take it away.
Yes, for CBD in London. London calling or London broiling. It's JJ Sefton here, wishing you all a wonderful week ahead. Be safe, be happy, be healthy, and God bless you all for participating in the Cut Jib Newsletter Speaks worldwide international network here. And we will see you again next week with all the news from around the world, across the nation, and up your street. Until then, God bless you all.
For listening, folks.